So, godly submission. That's our theme. Looking at am I pointing the clicky thing in the right place? Yes. There we are. Thinking in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33 about family relationships, and in fact, God's plan for all our relationships, and his order, if you like. And it's about really a code of conduct. It's about the ground rules for our behavior, which can form the bedrock, the kind of basis, the foundation of building a loving, strong, effective, fruitful community in Christ. And these are rules to live by, if you like. And of course, I'm sure it's not just me, but we don't really like rules, do we? They kind of think, oh no, they're going to kill everything off rules and regulations, you know? It's a bit of a buzzword, isn't it, rules? But these kind of rules are more like rails to run on, and godly rails to run on that bring life and not death. They bring peace and blessing and purpose to our lives. But yeah, submission. Bit of a buzzword in itself, isn't it? Dictionary definition is about the action of accepting and giving in to the will or authority of another person. And we really don't like that, do we? We like being in control. We don't like giving in at all. We like to have our own way. And let's think of other buzzwords that kind of get us going in the Christian life. Humility, patience, discipline. These are all buzzwords, really. So yes, does that mean that we have to be one of these? Yeah? We all know what one of these are. We all got them in our homes, yeah? So what do we do with these? Yeah, wipe your feet on them, yeah, tread on them. We walk all over them. We treat them really badly. Does that mean that God wants us to be doormats? And we use it, so we call somebody a doormat. We kind of, it's quite critical, isn't it? We think of it as a person who accepts being treated badly, who doesn't complain, who allows people to walk all over them, if you like. Even if they're treated unfairly, they will still not complain. A bit like the woman who will bend over backwards to please her. The man in her life, to make him happy, that's the focus, no matter how badly she's treated. So does God want us to be doormats? I would say not. I would say not. And you kind of think, well, what would make us a doormat? You know, we're a bit of a doormat, aren't we? Whether we avoid confrontation, because we just want to avoid it, not because it's right, or that we volunteer to do things because people expect us to, not because we want to. Maybe we say yes out of guilt, not because it's right for us. And then in a way that we feel overly responsible for others without caring for ourselves. We can use other words for doormat, couldn't we? Wimp. Think of some other words. Weedy. Bit of a drip or a soft touch. Well, I don't think God wants us to be doormats. When Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth, I don't think he meant us to be a bunch of wimps and soft touches. So let's have a look at understanding biblical submission. Because meekness is more to do with an attitude of humility towards God. Unlike, you know, Uriah Heep from David Copperfield, and you're familiar with the Dickens book, you know, ever so humble. And he wasn't humble at all, was he? But it's about living in obedience to God and in right relationship with him, because he is God. He is God Almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And he is to be glorified. He is to be exalted. He is high above us. He is God Almighty. And it's about us living in obedient relationship with him. So as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up. And as it said in the beginning, the opening verses, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He didn't cling to position. He made himself nothing, humbled himself even to death on a cross. So biblical submission is primarily to do with our submission to God. But it's also to do with our submission to one another. We're not to lord it over each other, 1 Peter chapter 5, 3. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, says in Romans. But to submit to one another in the church means to choose to follow the example of Jesus in the way that we live our lives with others on a daily basis. It's a daily choice of how we relate to others. And that has a huge impact of our lives, if you think about it. Every contact we have, every relationship we have, whoever we meet, whoever they are, every contact with the church family, with another human being, not just church family, not just our own family, we choose to follow the example of Jesus on a daily basis. It's as if we're letting the heartbeat of Jesus be the center of all our relationships and dealings with others. Because this, in the passage we're just about to read, is the key verse. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another out of reverence to him. It is as unto Christ. Because we love Jesus. Because we want to follow him as an example. We gladly submit to his lordship. And then that is worked out in every relationship. So we deal with everybody we meet as if they were Jesus himself. Every dealing, every person made in the image of God, we choose to follow Jesus' example on a daily basis. And we treat everybody. We love those that Jesus loves, which means everybody. And we treat everybody with dignity and respect. So we're now going to read the passage. It starts off with that verse, verse 21, reading it through to verse
33. Otherwise you can't see me. So it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. Instructions for Christian households. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. for we are the members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Here ends the reading.
So we see something in that passage of how we kind of work this out. So, rules, again, we don't like rules, but some rules are good. What about rules of engagement, of how we relate to others? What about greeting, meeting and greeting people? Very good welcomers here in this church, by the way. But also how we should behave in sort of polite society, really. In English, the word hello comes from the old English, hail beo u. I don't know that's how they pronounce it, but hail be thou, it means hail be thou, hol be thou. When we say hello to somebody, it's as if we are wishing people good health, which is nice, isn't it? Perhaps you turn to the person around you, let's say hello to each other properly, as if we are wishing them good health. So we say hello, and hello, and hello, hello. Good health. That's a good rule. And you think, well, how did people treat each other in the past? There were certain things that were right to do, treating people with dignity and respect. Waving doesn't count. It's got to be the hello. Well, actually, it does count. But they used to, depending on status, of course, do a lot of bowing and curtsying, didn't they? Have you seen Jane Austen films? There's all that bowing and curtsying going on from sort of 18th, 19th century. So we're going to have a little practice at that, of treating each other with that kind of respect. So I'm going to ask you to stand up, even though it's, I know it's hot, but you're going to do a little bowing to each other. If it's a man, we do a bow. If you're a man, you bow. And if you're a lady, you do a curtsy. Don't worry about going too far down. We've got to get you back up again. So you'll just do a little curtsy to people. So you're greeting people, you would curtsy, or you would bow. Very polite society, isn't it? Very nice. Very nice. Might need a bit of practice, but we'll get there. We often would say hello to people now with a handshake, wouldn't we? Just a simple handshake. Of course, we had to stop that during COVID, didn't we? And we had to do all those elbow bumps, you remember? We either did an elbow or a fist bump or foot or something, because we weren't allowed to sort of contact, or we might just be a vague nod in somebody's direction. In Thailand, don't know if anybody's here is Thai, handshakes are seen as disrespectful. I know, interesting, isn't it? They would put a palm on their hand like that and bow. Yeah? So we're going to do that to each other. But what is also disrespectful is to do it looking miserable or angry, and you have to smile when you do it. So let's have a practice of that. So we've got a hand on our chest now, and we will smile and nod and greet people that way. That's kind of nice, and hand like there. Lovely, lovely. And I tell you what is another good rule, a rule of life, if you like, is what is known as the golden rule. Golden rule, life-giving rule. From Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. You know, you treat others how you yourself would want to be treated. It's a wonderful message of Jesus. So, godly submission means treating each other with love and respect. This is the basis of godly marriage. and of all family relationships, but particularly marriage, which is the emphasis of our reading today. Now, I have got some colouring in pages. If anybody would like to draw pictures of your own family, there's some paper, or you can do some colouring in. I think Roger quite fancied doing that this morning, so I've got extra pages. If Katie and Elizabeth would like to do some colouring, do come and get some paper. Or you can draw pictures of your own mummy and daddy or your own relatives. So, shall I pass them down? There you are. There we are. And you can do some drawing. And you can draw your own mummy and daddy or colouring in. Because not every family has a mummy and a daddy and a grandma and, you know, brothers and sisters to represent our own families. But also, as we do that, and as they colour those in, let's think about treating everybody the way that Jesus would want us to treat them, which is with love and respect. And I think this following quote is an important one as we move forward through this passage. Submission is not about authority, and it's not obedience. It is all about relationships of love and respect. It's the right kind of perspective for what follows, thinking about husbands and wives. So, love and submission, verse 22 from the NIV. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Godly submission, remember, is about love and respect. Paraphrase the message, I don't know if you use that at all here, but that says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. I think that's quite a helpful approach. Husbands love, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. Again, submitting out of reverence of Christ, living the way that Christ would want it, treating people the way that Jesus would want us to treat. And that, I know it's hard sometimes, but treating your husband with that kind of love and respect. Verse 25 then says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Here we have love and submission, the two sides of the same coin. The message again, it says, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Remember, there's no doormats in the kingdom of God. You know? How you treat people is how you would want to be treated yourself, the golden rule. But then we come to the thorny issue of headship. You've read this passage before. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Verse 23. Now, we don't dispute, do we, that we are his body, Christ's body. Jesus is the head. We are the body. But what does it mean in terms of husbands and wives and in terms of the relationship between men and women? Is it about authority? Husband's a boss, end of story. Women are kind of a bit lower down the pecking order. There's a kind of hierarchy, there's men there and there's women there. Well, some would interpret it that way. And you could read the scripture in that way if you would like to. The problem for me, in a way, is a similar passage that talks about headship from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and that needs a little bit of thinking about. Because that verse says, now, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And you just kind of think, well, is the head of Christ God? But Jesus is God. And there's no hierarchy in terms of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in eternity in the perfect mutual relationship of love across eternity. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm just wondering if it is meaning something else here. So instead of authority, we could perhaps, and this is how it is also interpreted, see head in terms of honor. We honor our physical heads in the way they are the seat of honor, glory. And as we honor Christ, so husbands and wives are to honor each other. Some people would say you could think about it as source in terms of head of the river. It could be head in terms of a physical sense or a spiritual sense, both. And obviously, and not everywhere where you see that word headship or head in scripture, it actually means the same thing, because it doesn't. There are two ways of looking at this, and you might have seen there's been quite a lot written recently about this. Two words, great words for an all-age service, but complementarianism versus egalitarianism. I know, they're long words. But basically, the complementarian view of the relationship between men and women and husbands and wives, in the basis is, it's on the basis of complementary roles. Yeah? So their roles and responsibilities in terms of marriage, in terms of family life, in terms of church responsibilities. Men have their roles, women have their roles. You don't mix them. They are complementary but different. There's a kind of hierarchical, patriarchal view of this that is about male authority. You know, leadership is male type view. Or you've got what is known as an egalitarianist view, which emphasizes the equality between men and women, and there are no restrictions on what roles men and women fulfill. So the roles they fulfill are based on ability and not on gender. Example of this, I did know a lady who, the husband and wife, he thought he was the head of the home, that was it. He'll do the finances, and he was absolutely hopeless at it, and his wife was an accountant, and he wouldn't let her do it. So yeah, it can be a bit silly sometimes. And clearly, when we look at scripture, we're looking at a different society, ancient tribal Israel, or throughout history, we're looking at Jewish society, and in Paul's day, we would be looking at a Greek and a Roman society, and it's very different to our own today. But still, in Paul's writings, we have a sense of order and a sense of mutuality between the sexes. Key verse, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. A number of years ago now, I was asked to go on Revelation TV. Have you ever come across, I don't know if it's still running actually, and there was this debate with this chap about, you know, complementarianism, egalitarianism. You know, I was obviously, as a female minister, being brought in on one wing. And he looked at that verse and he said, no, that's about salvation, not service. Now, maybe that could be your interpretation. I don't read that there for myself. I think it's pretty clear. But there are different, as I say, there are different ways of viewing this. And it's been said that the gospel was preached for not that long before there was equality between Jew and Greek. The gospel had to be preached for about 1,800 years before the abolition of slavery. And we're looking at well over 2,000 years before we have equality between men and women. But there are different interpretations of scripture. But we've got to make sure that whatever view we hold, we deal with everyone with love and respect. Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, not lording over people with some kind of misguided sense of entitlement, but not thinking more lowly of ourselves either. Less of ourselves, undervaluing what God has made us and what God has for us. Remember, no doormats. But we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And referring to Ephesians 5 in his commentary, Francis Fuchs wrote, the Apostle Paul knew from experience that the secret of maintaining joyful fellowship in the church was the order and discipline that that come from willing submission of one person to another. Pride of position and the authoritarian spirit are destructive of fellowship. So no matter what our views of headship, whether we're complementarians, you can have a hard complementarian, you can have a soft complementarian, you can have an egalitarian, whatever your view in terms of the role of husbands and wives, much of what Paul wrote in his letters, and especially here in Ephesians 5, is about mutual submission. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let's think about how God wants us to develop godly families. And there's some wonderful positive buzzwords here. Buzzwords are not always negative. They don't always get the hackles up the back of our neck and we sort of react. They'd be good buzzwords. And they should feature in our relationships. Caring for one another and humility. Openness and trust. Allowing ourselves to be vulnerable if need be. No one lording it over anyone else. Each supporting each other. Each looking after each other. We should be more concerned of the rights and needs of others than our own. A man, anybody good here using chopsticks? I'd like two people come up here. Anyone can use chopsticks, even remotely. I'm not going to pressurize you into volunteering. Can I have two volunteers? I should have marked these out beforehand. Because this chap had a dream about two people using chopsticks. You don't have to be good at chop using. Come on, David and Manny, you can come and help me. Thank you. Round of applause for our two helpers, because they don't know what they're letting themselves in for. Thank you for helping me out. Thank you. Right, one of you stands there and face each other. Face each other. Now the chopsticks I'm going to give you. Are a bit big.
Quite big.
This guy had this dream and they were given chopsticks. This and these people were trying to feed themselves with these massive chopsticks. So what do you think you two could do to use those chopsticks to eat? Yes. To feed each other, thank you. No, not poke the other eye out, but thank you. That's exactly it. Thanks very much. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly it. Lovely, lovely. That was the guy's dream, that the only way they could eat, the way they could really flourish, was by feeding each other and helping each other. You see, at the bottom of all this is a mystery. It was a real profound mystery that in a way is beyond our understanding. The relationship between husband and wife, their unity, their mutual love and respect. Somehow there is that sense of mystery that is found in the spiritual reality of the relationship between Christ and his church. That's what Paul is wrestling with, isn't he, in those later verses. Because, of course, husband and wife is not an illustration of that relationship. That would be far too simplistic, because he would have said, wouldn't he? It's like, but he doesn't. He talks about a profound mystery, because it isn't a simple illustration, but it's somehow, in some way, a reflection. It's an echo of the mutual love and respect between husbands and wives that is this wonderful loving relationship that God has with his church, the bride of Christ. Quite what all that means is a mystery that, if we're honest, is beyond our knowing. But what we do know very clearly is what Jesus said to us. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so love one another. Couldn't say it more simply than that, could he? Godly submission, mutual love. And respect. Let's be quiet for a moment. Let's just take a moment to think about those areas in our lives that are a bit of a buzzword for us, where we're kind of struggling. Think about our relationships with others, the family, husbands, wives, children, work colleagues, whoever. We submit out of reverence for Christ.